doesn't say full, it's not full.
Alrighty. I gotta flip the switch. Oh, yeah. Okay, so we're doing, let's see, we're gonna start the Perashat Mishnayos on Chelek. Okay, so we're using the Kapach edition. Alrighty. Okay, so let's see here. Okay, so I mean, most of what I'm saying I heard from Rabbi Trait, and he gave a shiur, a few shiurim on this on Chelek. So okay, so the Rambam starts off Ra'isi l'daber kan al yesodos rabim ba'munos. Gedolei Herech Mod. Okay, so he's going to speak about Yesodos Rabim, very great importance. Okay, so of course, why are they of great importance? Why are these things of great importance? Right, because they're Yesodos. Right, in other words, Yesod means, you know, the central idea. In other words, whenever you study an area. So there are many ideas in an area, right? Many things to examine and many points, right? But the yesod is the point. But generally, you know, when you study an area, you come across the central point from which all the other ideas emanate. You know, you don't have the ideas are not all just equal, but many parts of the sugya. When you study a sugya, there's a central basic point from which all of the other ideas of the sugya emanate. And if you don't have that point, and you're just studying, you know, the side points and the details of the sugya, you don't really have an understanding. You know, you understand the thing there, and understand a point here, and an understand a point here, but the basic point of the sugya you don't have. So you really, in order to have the understanding of the sugya, you must have that basic point, because all of these side points emanate from that. And once you get the basic point, you say, ah, now I see why this was that way and that was that way. Right? But until you get that down to that basic point, your understanding is very limited. Okay, so that's why the yesod is the herech gadol, is the important point, because with that yesod, all of the other points become now intelligible, and without that yesod, they're really unintelligible. Okay, so that's why the Rambam here, this is herech gadol. This is the most important thing. If you know this yesod, you're going to know a lot of things that you thought you knew, but you didn't really understand. Okay. Okay, so the Rambam goes, Da Shabali HaTorah, Nechleku Deosehem, Be'inyan HaOsher SheYasig HaAdam, Be'kiyam HaMitzvos HaLol. Okay? So, the Bali HaTorah were divided with regard to the Osher, the Schar, the reward that a person attains through doing the mitzvos. Okay, you got everybody. Sorry, I'm going on and on here. Here, it's the begin. It's the tenth. Well, that actually has the Hebrew on one side and the Arabic on the other side. So, you know, I figure in case we have any experts in Arabic, you know, let's see. Well, maybe I gave you the wrong one. You know what? Well, this is very interesting. I handed out all the wrong. I'm used to learning with Howie Solomon. I learned the. Introduction to Chet, yeah. Okay. So I'm learning.
Did we do the regular introduction to the Tamar to the Perikhanic?
Yeah. Well, I'm actually doing that with someone. I don't know. I'm actually doing it with someone during the week. So that's okay.
Well, you know, you guys are very polite. Nobody said anything. It's a good thing I started to notice there's a lot of page flipping going on. You know, it's a little trick. This way, nobody can really ask any kashas, you know. It's just, you know, it's a very useful tool that you learn when you start teaching. You know, just hand out the wrong material. Okay, so it's on Kuf Lamed Gimel. Okay. I'm assuming you have the same one as me. Kufon Gimel. It's the beginning of the 10th parak of Sanhedrin. Is that the right page, Kufon Gimel? Mm-hmm. Okay. No. Late. Sorry. Okay. You got it? Yes, yeah, Sanhedrin 10th paragraph. That's it. It should start right there, right? Okay. Hey, Hen. Well, oh, it was off?
Yeah. Is it going?
I shut it off when we went to get the book.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Now it's on.
Now okay. It's on. Okay. 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 So the Rambam says, we'll be lucky if anything is recorded. You know, hopefully some of the shir will be recorded, not just all of the side jokes. But okay. Okay. So the Rambam says over here that the Balei HaTorah argued with regard to the opinions, ideas, regarding the schar, the reward that a person receives from doing mitzvos, and shesivano Hashem b'hem al yedei Moshe Rabbeinu, unekama. Okay, I just want to point one thing that in the back of the regular Gemaras, it's a different translation. It's, you know, it's slightly different. This is the Kapach, it was a renewed translation. So if you're just using the regular Shas, it's pretty close. So, but don't be confused by the, you know, discrepancies. Yeah.
Why is it written here?
Why is it written? What do you mean?
Why are these ideas written
in Chelek?
Yeah.
Well, okay, because Chelek, as you know, the first Mishnah in Chelek is talking about those that have a Chelek in Olam Haba and those that do not have a Chelek in Olam Haba. Okay. So basically, what the Mishnah is discussing is what is the schar that a person the person gets from doing the mitzvahs, and what is the onesh, and which people are excluded from that schar. Okay, so that's why the Rambam wanted to go through the basic ideas of what is the basic idea of the schar mitzvah. Okay, so that's why he put it here. All right. Okay. So, and of course, most people, you know, the average person has an incorrect idea of what schar mitzvah is, and that's what the Rambam's really going to go into. And that's an important thing, because basically, a person, you know, schar mitzvah, that has to do with the purpose of mitzvahs. So, you know, it's very nice to do mitzvahs, but a person doesn't do anything without a purpose. Okay, so the most important thing that you could discuss is the purpose of actions. So that's why it's a yisod. If you don't know the purpose of human action, how can a person function? Then he's just operating on autopilot. Okay, so that's why it's a very important thing to know what the purpose and objective of human action is. Okay, and that's basically what we mean when we say schar mitzvah. What's the purpose of mitzvahs? Okay. Okay. Right. So the Rambam says that there's a machlokas. What is the schar ubinakama, and what is the onesh? Asher tavoenu be'avreinu alehem. When a person transgresses the mitzvahs, what is the punishment that he receives? What are the consequences for abiding by the mitzvahs and transgression? Okay. So this is a source of debate among the Balei HaTorah. Okay. And he says machlokos rabos, that they engaged in many machlokos me'od kefi shinoi sichleim, according to their different viewpoints, their different philosophies, they engaged in many machlokos with regard to this area of schar v'onesh. Okay. V'nishtabshu bekach hamachshavos shibush rav, and they were confused and mistaken with regard to this. With machshavos shibush rav, many great mistakes. They committed great erroneous errors with regard to these ideas. Okay, ad sheefshar shalotim saklal adam shenizbar etzlo enyin zeh, until it has reached the point where it's possible that you won't find any person that has a clear idea of this area of mitzvos, purpose of mitzvos. Gam lo timtzabo dvarim sudurim. Also, you will not find things in order, properly ordered, ideas properly ordered. Li'af echad el abir v'vrav. Only great confusion. Okay, so I mean, you know, it is an interesting point that the Rambam is obviously describing people that, you know, have tremendous errors and tremendous confusion. I mean, we have to understand what all these adjectives are and what's, you know, what is description. This is a long description. Yes, he sounds like he's just repeating himself. And of people with tremendous erroneous errors. And why does he, but he refers to them as Balei Torah. I mean, when you start out, Darsha Balei Torah Nechlek, they are saying, you're thinking he's talking about whatever the you know, the Balei Masorah had arguments, but it's clear that's not what he's saying, right? So by Balei HaTorah, right, I think it has to be made clear that he does not mean those that have the true ideas of Torah, right? By Balei HaTorah, he's using the term descriptively. He means that the entire group of those that follow the Torah, okay, that includes people that have tremendous errors, but they follow the Torah, okay? That's what he means by Balei HaTorah, okay? So let's just see if we can understand a little what these different descriptions are. Okay, it seems like he's breaking them down, these people, he's breaking them down to categories. Okay, so the first category he mentions is Machlokas Rabos Ma'od Kefi Shinoi Sichleim. Okay, according to Shinoi Sichleim, the differences in their ideas. Okay, that's one source of Machlokas. Okay? Then he goes v'nishtabshu b'kach hamachshavas shivash rav. Then there is mistakes, great mistakes that are made. Okay, so what is the difference between those two things? Just to start off there.
What's shivash?
Well, shivash is error, mistake. Okay. So what's he saying there? What are the two classes that he's? What's the subdivision there? Right, what's the difference between a machlokas based on shinoi sichleihem and a machlokas based on shivash rav?
The first one sounds like they thought about it, at least to some degree.
Right.
The second one just sounds like they got a few things mixed up.
Okay, good. Right? In other words, a machlokas based on you can have two types of machlokasim. If a person has an opinion, if you have two people that have two different theories, right, there are two ways they could differ theoretically. Okay, a person could have a theory which is a logical theory, right? The only thing is, it happens to be wrong. Okay? Like you have a Havamina in the Gemara, right? The Gemara goes through, is analyzing an area, and introduces a logical possibility, and then it refutes it. Right? So the refutation doesn't mean that the possibility is not a logical one, it's a logical theory. The only thing is, it happens to be false because of a fact from a different area, the theory is excluded. But it's a logical theory. Okay? But then you can have a case where the theory is not logical. It's simply a confused idea. The idea itself doesn't make sense. It doesn't qualify as a logical theory. Right? So the Rambam is saying that there are two ways you could have a dispute between two people. One way is that there are certain people that argue in this area, and each person has a logical theory. You know, the thing is, some of those theories are false. Some are true, some are false. Okay, but then there's a source of dispute in this area which encompasses the second category, and that is they're simply confused ideas. Okay, it's not a logical theory. The person has a theory; it's simply not logical.
So he's going to say that there's some other theories that he considers logical, but just not...
They're true. Logically consistent. Yes, they're possibilities. They're not intrinsically illogical. Okay? Yeah. They're not intrinsically illogical. They just don't... They're not true. Okay? But logically, they're consistent. I mean, they're not contradictory ideas. I mean, sometimes a guy comes out with an idea that the idea itself is it's self-contradictory. It just simply doesn't make sense at all. Okay? So that's shibush rav. Right?
And those arguments are just like emotional arguments?
Emotional arguments. That's right. An emotional argument. That's right. That would be like an example like what we saw with Galen. right? They came up with a theory that Moshe Rabbeinu believed X, Y, Z, right? All with the eyelash, whatever it was, right? And the Rambam showed that Galen's theory was self-contradictory, right? Because on one hand he was saying that, I forget the deals, but it came out that he's contradicting himself. On one hand he doesn't know whether the world is eternal, right? But on the other hand he's saying that God can only operate, God can't go above the laws of nature, right? He can only operate from given laws, right? Those that statement is intrinsically illogical. So that's Shibush Rav, and I think the Rambam uses that terminology, if I'm not mistaken, yeah, Shibush, that is just irbuv. It's confused. It's a confused idea. The idea itself is self-contradictory, right? But there are certain times I could have a inherently logical idea, like the idea, Aristotle's idea, that that the world was eternal, right? It's not a contradictory idea. It's just as false. We could show from a certain area that that theory is false, but it's a logical theory. Okay? Okay. Then the last one you have, the Rambam says, and that's what he says, Ad she'efshar shelo timtza klal adam shenisbarer etzlo inyan zeh. It's not nisbar, it's not clear. What is the man saying? Alright, that's the second. Then the Rambam says, Gam lo timtza bo dvarm sidurim laaf echad ela b'irv uvrav. Right? Then it seems the Rambam is saying, right, dvarm sidurim. Okay. So what is dvarm sidurim? Right, that the idea is not mesura. It's not properly ordered.
You saying like even if they have the correct idea, they don't really know how to put it together.
They don't know how to put it together. Yeah. Right. That's what he's saying. And now is he saying that it's not properly ordered? Meaning it could be a logical point, but they don't have the real picture. You know what I mean? It's not ordered. See, because he does have a note here. I mean, and I think that's what Kapanko was also had in mind, because he says a kavana dvarm brurim benuyim b'shita kavua mirosh v'atzof. You know, sometimes a person has a fragment of truth. He has a fragment, and it's a logical thing, but it's not the essence. He's not dealing with the essence. Okay, so it's like you have a person's learning a sugya, and he has a point. He understands a point from the sugya. And that's logical. He's not saying something crazy. But he doesn't have the main idea that explains what's going on here. He has one detail. Okay? So that's what I'm saying. So there's three ways, really, that a person can make a mistake in thought. He can make a mistake, number one, because it's a logical idea, but it just happens to be false. Not true. Okay? It's an idea in physics that was excluded. They thought it was a logical idea, but it was proven false. Okay, then you have an idea that's simply illogical, right? And the third is you have a logical idea, but you're not hitting the essence. It's an accidental point. If you'd see the real underlying concept, then you'd understand the thing fully. But he has a level of understanding. Okay, like for instance, I mean, you can give an example. A person, let's say. Knows things about halacha. He knows a point in halacha that I'm just trying to think of a good case. A person knows, let's say, Ner Chanukah, right? He knows he goes to somebody else's house. He's an achsanai, right? And he knows he still has the light, right? And he knows the halacha is that he gives money to the balabais. He doesn't light his own ner, right? But he gives money to the balabais to light for him. Right, so there's certain people that say that that you know you can light yourself. I mean, you can light yourself also. You know, you're basically chayiv in hadlaka, and you can give the money, but you know you could light your own menorah, right? But he doesn't understand the underlying idea of the lighting of giving the money is the fact that it's not your bias. You know that the ner is halacha in the bias. So a person, let's say, who has no house, right, couldn't possibly fulfill the mitzvah because the nair doesn't stand on its own. It's not an entity on its own. It's part of a bias, right? So he doesn't understand that. So he'll say, well, there's no difference whether I give the money to him or light my own nair, right? But a person that knows the underlying concept that the reason why you're contributing to his nair is it's his bias, and he's the one that could make a kiyum in the bias, right? And not you. So he'll know that that's the way to do it. Okay? But a person that just thinks, well, an heir is an heir. There's nothing to do with a bias. He doesn't know about the bias. He doesn't understand that concept. You know what I mean? So a person could know halacha, that I give money to the Baal, but you know, you'll ask him a slightly different situation that's not mefurish, he doesn't know the concept. Why am I giving the money? Right? So the same type of thing. Right? So he has a point, he knows one of the ideas there, but he doesn't know the underlying concept. Okay, so he doesn't really have an understanding of what's going on. Yeah?
Would this category of things have, like, ideas that we'll get from the Masorah, but not, like, understand how they're true, just that they're true?
It's like they have the conclusions, but they don't
understand. Right, that could be, right. It could be an example like that, yes. Yeah, that would be an example, but I mean, in other words, right. You know, he doesn't know the underlying reason how it works. You know, he knows one point that I have to be mishtatef with the Baal. I have to relate somehow to his candle, but he doesn't understand why. What's, you know, what the underlying thing is. Okay.
What are these three categories of?
These three categories of how a person, when a person has a concept, has a theory. Okay, why you could have people that argue in theory. Okay, or why a person could have an erroneous theory. Okay, there are three ways a person could have an erroneous theory. And of course, anytime you have a debate, you're going to have these three possibilities. You know, as one person is saying one thing, the other person is saying the other thing, right? So the theory that each person is promoting has to fit into one of these three categories. Either it's logical or it's illogical. Right? If it's illogical, that's number two. If it's logical, there are only two possibilities. If he's wrong, there are only two possibilities. It may be logical, but he doesn't have the underlying concept. He's just dealing with a detail. Or it just is a false theory. It's logical, but it's proven false from a different area. Okay, and there's only three ways that a person can have a false theory.
So the first one is logical, but false.
Logical, but false.
The second one is...
inherently contradictory, self-contradictory.
Right, and the third one is illogical but true. The
third one is logical, but he doesn't have the main point. He's limited in his knowledge. In other words, he has a logical idea, but that's not the main concept. So if you ask him anything that is not encompassed by that particular, you're not going to know, or he'll make a mistake. Once he gets out of that thing, that's it.
It's usually a more like a specific kind of mistake. It's like if you're getting like categories of like how a guy like messes up in like knowledge, right? So the first two make sense. He's either just logical or
illogical.
Right.
That's right.
So, but the second one is like, let's say we're arguing like a really fundamental point. So I'm not sure exactly what he's saying. He's saying that if we're arguing this fundamental point, he'll just not address that point and just say some detail.
No. He's not saying. No. What he's saying is if a person has an idea.
Right.
Okay. It is either if it's logical, but he's lacking in knowledge. He can only be if it's logical, but it doesn't work out. A person has a theory that is logical but does not work out. It's only one of two reasons: either it is false because of a certain fact, or it's a logical idea, but it's not the essence. It's not the essence of the sugya. So that's why he's lacking in knowledge. In other words, the reason why he's mistaken, he could only be mistaken if he has a logical idea, he could only be mistaken for one of two reasons. Either the idea is logical but false, or if the idea is true, the reason why he's making a mistake in his understanding of the entirety is because that idea is not the main point.
That's only when you're talking about like an offshoot of a point. Let's say you're talking about some idea. So if he's talking about...
No, then he's going to be wrong. Yeah, then he's going to be wrong.
Okay, but if he's talking about... if there's those three people sitting in a room talking about the same idea...
Right.
And so if he's getting it right, he's getting it right.
That's right, exactly. If he's getting the idea right, then he understands the basic idea.
No, right. But I'm saying I understand. Because you're saying he's logical, so that means what he's saying is true. But then what they're not arguing about... Like,
no. Yeah, all I'm saying is, if a person doesn't understand... A person could lack... the only thing he's saying is like this. That a person who gives an opinion about an area, sometimes he could give an opinion about an accidental point and confuse that for the area.
Oh, I see.
You know what I mean? He confuses that for the area. Like, a person is not getting down to the underlying essence. So he thinks the main thing in the sugya, he thinks, is this. That's not the main thing in the sugya. He might be right about that. What he's saying so far is true. Let's say you have a guy, listen, read this Tosfos, tell me what it means, right? He goes through the Tosfos and he tells you what it means. Everything he said is true, but he doesn't have the basic point. The underlying premise of this Tosfos he doesn't have. You see? Mm-hmm. So in that sense, there's something wrong with his thought. But not because the concept that he has is false, it's just he's just on the surface. He's operating on the surface. If he could go beneath the surface, he'd see the real thing. Okay? Mm-hmm.
So what's an example of that? What you guys saw in that book?
Well, we gotta see, but he's just giving the Right? I'm just saying that's his point. Now he's gonna go into it. He's giving you an introduction. Okay? Okay. So the Rambam says now like this. Okay. Kat, hine kat, there is a group, and now he's going to describe the groups that he's referring to. Okay. There is a group of people, so veris, ki ha-osher, that the reward, who Gan Eden, is Gan Eden. Vishahu makom, shebo ochlim, vishosim, there's a place where you eat and drink. Bali yagia gufanis, no work. I mean, everything, you know, is just waiting there for you to partake. Ubali amal, right? You never get tired. You just simply could enjoy yourself all day long. Viyu bo batim me'avonim, karos umatso shalmeshi, beautiful homes, right? Sheets, silk, everything, you know, nicest thing you can imagine, whatever it is. Okay? I guess in today's description would be a little different, but the basic idea is the same, you know, the most pleasant and wonderful types of goods that you could have. Venara, Zarmim, Yayin, you have rivers that are flowing with not water, but wine. why drink water when you can be drinking wine? Vishimane, Bosem, beautiful, nice oil, spiced oil. Vahabing Musugzu, and, you know, you could just imagine what the rest of the description is, but, right, he's giving you the outline, the general outline, okay? And these are, this is a large category. This is what people, many people, this is a very large group of people, okay, that belong to this category, many people. Shahanakama, Gehenim, and obviously the punishment is the reverse. Vishum makam loede shibon nisrafos. You know, you have very hot fires there where you get burnt. And then you have the imagination to the opposite, where a person just endures endless torture. Okay, so this is really the, as the Ram says, Harib Masubzu, there are many people. In fact, we can imagine practically every person, almost, right, of the uneducated person will imagine that this is the situation. The lomdim anshe kas katzu al dasu b'maymarim rabim, and the individuals that belong to this kat derive this information. They've learned these limudim. They've got this information from the maymarim rabim midivrei chachamim. They get it from the chazal, from the different maymarim, the different midrashim. And they're convinced that this is the meaning of the Midrashim and the different things the Chazal say, and they have an absolute proof that what they're saying is based on the Masorah and based on Chazal. Shematimim l'chora l'taynasam kulam arubam. And they can support all of their tainas, all of their claims with solid Chazal and Midrashim. Okay? Okay, but that's basically that kat. Okay, and that's, most people fall into that group. And they have plenty of support. Plenty of proofs from Chazal.
Is there an actual Chazal that says that Gan Eden is Olam Haba?
The what?
Where did the idea come from that Olam Haba is called Gan Eden?
I'm sure there's plenty of Chazal.
There's Chazal.
I'm sure. I mean, I'm not familiar with any of them, but I'm not that familiar with the Midrashim. But I'm sure if you go through Midrashim, you're going to find, plenty of support for this, and that's what the Rambam's saying. He's not denying. In other words, it's an interesting thing why the Rambam brings that up. I mean, who cares where they got the idea from? If it's a false idea, what do we care? What do we care where it came from? A comic book or Chazal?
I think it's important to show, I think, that they're getting it from Chazal. Because, like you said in the beginning, they are Bali Torah. They are.
True. That is true.
So it's not like they're just like pulling anything out of the hat. I mean, they're wrong.
I see what you're saying. Yeah, they're wrong.
They're trying to follow like.
They're trying to follow the system.
Sorry, right.
That is a good point. You're right. They didn't just yeah.
So this whole works on Jews, like Jews' false ideas about the afterlife, or just people in general?
Well, that's a good point. It's a good question. Will this apply to man in general? It's a good point. So far, you know, he's limiting it to the to what we see, to the our co-religionists, as the Rambam calls it.
Yeah.
Right? Now, whether it will apply to everybody, well, let's see. After we analyze it, then we can maybe make that determination.
I mean, this one definitely applies to everyone. And then it just expresses itself in the Jew.
Well, that's a good point. Yes. Religion. This definitely applies to everybody, right? We know you look at the other religions. Well, you don't have to look too far. Yeah. Right? I mean, any religion you can think of basically follows this pattern. You go to heaven, and what you get there, who knows, you know? Virgins or whatever it is. And you go to Gehenna, and, you know, this is what you get, you know? You're encountered by very hot fires. So, you know, it's a very compelling, right? Okay, but the Rambam says that they get it from Midrashim. So it's true, because he did introduce saying that it's Balei Torah. They're not just pulling it from nowhere. They've got some support. And they got it from Chazal, because they're religious people, and, you know, that is what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to follow Chazal, and get your limud from them, not just make up your own things. Okay? But I think there's a further reason why he is isolating what they're doing, where they're getting this from. You know, why he says they're getting from Chazal. And I think that he wants to show the point that it's true that this is what people do. You know, they do this because they want to comply with what the religion is, but it's further than that. Because if a person really wants to comply, well, maybe you should say, one second, maybe Chazal are very deep, maybe I don't understand what Chazal are saying. You see? So on the surface, it is a desire to comply. But it's something further. You see, it is really beneath that is another point. And the other point is that a person, when he adopts a philosophy, he does not start from the facts. He does not start from the facts and from knowledge. He starts from his internal world. He starts from what his emotions tell him. And he's convinced that that is true. But a person does not just walk around saying, well, my emotions tell me this, so that's it, that's how I'm going to live. No, he has to find some justification. So being that they are Balei Torah, the justification is that, you see, the Chazal said this. Okay? But they're not really going to Chazal to find out the truth. They're going to Chazal to justify their own prejudices and their own emotional desires. Okay? So that's what the Rambam is showing. The Rambam is showing you that it is possible for a person to look at Chazal and learn from Chazal in two ways. One way is to actually get a limud from Chazal, and the other way is the limud is coming from the emotions, and Chazal is just a support. Okay, but that's an invalid thing. That is an invalid thing. You can't approach Chazal that way. That's an illogical thing. Okay, so he's showing you that's what a person does, and that's false. Okay, and Chazal is deeper than that. They're metaphorical, and you can't ever do that.
But you see it for me that, like, you would think that's true. You could, like, take your own projections and just, like, build the whole system. And just,
oh, yeah.
So you're showing that.
That's right.
Like,
that's right.
I mean, that's what you're saying, maybe.
That's exactly right. That's right. Even if something is a point of truth, yeah, but you can use that to distort the whole system. Yeah, it's one point, but you're not really giving the point. Right?
Like, that's what we saw recently in the Maamar Tchiyas HaMeisim.
Yeah.
That he said, like, even the Christians adopted the Shema Yisrael, and it's saying the most simple idea about the religion, and they totally twisted around and said, maybe they're God's three.
That's very good. That's very good. Yeah, it's the same exact thing. Right? You can take a pasuk from the Torah that says Hashem Echad and say, well, obviously there are three gods.
Right.
Right. That's exactly right. It's the same exact thing. Okay, but it's important that they do this because, you know, a person who follows his emotions still knows one thing. I mean, he can't just be a psychotic. He has to have some kind of justification from reality. So that's something a person has to, you know, you have to be aware of that. And when you hear people that give a justification, the initial thing is you say, oh, look, on the surface he's a logical guy. You know, but you have to realize any kind of argument, the person will never say a totally crazy thing and just give no reason for it. It's impossible. Right? So giving a reason does not mean he's a logical guy. You got to look into it and see, well, this is a stupid reason. Okay? Yeah. So that's the first group. Okay? And that's Rove. Rove people are like that. Okay? And then Kachnia is Mamina v'choshevis. They believe and they think Sha'oshar Mayuchal, the expected reward, Heim Yimosa Mashiach. Meher Yigla. Okay? And that is Yimosa Mashiach. Usheva Oso Hazman, Yiyu B'nei Adam, Kula Malachim Tomid. Okay? And at that time, people will be Malachim, V'yigdalu Guvosehem, their bodies will become great, because physically their stature will be astounding. V'yivnu Eskola Olam Kula L'Netzach. And they will, I guess, they will, you know, populate and build the world for eternity. The Oso HaMashiach, I mean, it's a little unclear, I'm not sure exactly what what does that mean, but okay, I think, you know, if we look at the other translations, it's a little more understandable, but he excludes it, but okay, he says like this, and then he says the Oso HaMashiach, that Mashiach lefi dimyonam, according to their thoughts, yichye kenetzchios habor Yisrael mishvacha. Okay, that Mashiach will live forever. Okay? Ushebaoso hazman tatzmiach haaretz begadim arugim. The land will bring forth, finished products. Begadim arugim. Woven clothing will emerge from the ground instead of what, you know. Velechem afoy, ready-made bread. Not wheat, you don't have to do anything, that's it. The bread comes out from the ground. Okay, v'harbe min ha'nimnos m'keila, and many of these impossibilities, okay, things that don't happen, they ascribe to nature that it will happen at that zman. Okay, v'anakamahi, and the punishment is shlo yia adam bosa zman v'lo yizke l'roso. Person won't come back for that zman. He won't see it. He won't have it. V'gam heim londim al kach b'maymarim rabim. Okay, and of course they too. They too don't just offer this theory, but they give you solid proof. Okay, mean lamdim alkach b'mayim rabim hametsuyim b'divrei chachamim ubepsukim min amikra masimim l'pashteim l'taynasam o miktsasam. Okay, so they give support from psukim, from chazal. Okay, so that's the second cut. All right. Let's just do the number 3. So Kashlishis Choshevis ki ha'osher ha'miyuchal hu tchias ha'mesim v'hu shiyichya adam achar moso. A person will come back to life after his death. V'yachzer imishpachto krovav yochal v'yishta v'lo yamazov. He'll return with his family and his friends, and he'll enjoy life, eat and drink, and he will not die. V'anakama shlo yichya. Okay, so let's just see, at this point, right, what, I think if you compare the first and the third, what would you say, what's the idea of the first? Let's say the first cut. Okay, what is the idea that they're, yeah.
I mean, I think the first three.
Okay.
He's giving three different things that, on the surface, it just seems that each is just like a wrong idea about the physical.
Okay.
Each of them, they're two times the physical. They can't even describe anything else but physical. They all are just describing different things in the physical world that will be good, that they would like to have in the physical world.
Okay.
But it's interesting that each thing is like it's a new thing in the physical world. You'd think that all these things would fall in one category, like that bread comes from sand, the same thing that wine flowing in rivers.
Okay.
It's a different category.
Okay, but let's say the first and the third, number one and three. What would you say, what's the idea of the first cut? What is their idea, really, of the schar? What's the main idea that they have of schar?
Completely hedonistic.
Okay, okay. So the physical enjoyments that they'll have, physical enjoyments. Okay? See, the thing is, the cut, let's first understand one point. These different groups, okay? I think we have to ask one question. In these groups, that the Rambam's describing the philosophy of these groups, the ideas of these groups. Is this a philosophic concept, or is this a psychological? In other words, what the person, the opinions that are being expressed by each group, is this a philosophic? Is this a philosophic? Is this in the framework of the philosophic or the framework of the psychological? What's the right? In other words, the underlying framework that each Chai is working with is the psychological. That is what they're using to determine the Schar V'Onesh, the psychological makeup. Okay.
With the specific things that they want.
That's right. In other words, they are ascribing Schar V'Onesh to things they want. Okay. It's not a there's no philosophic dispute going on here between the different cards. It's a psychological factor. Okay? So what's the psychological factor of the first cut? The psychological factor of the first cut is, basically, it's a cut that is attached to the physical enjoyments. Okay?
You all said only 1-3 is the psychological?
What's that?
You said only the first
and
third?
No, I'm not saying, saying they're all psychological.
Oh, God.
But I'm saying I think that the factor is most apparent, because the second's a little confusing. I think in the other translation it's a little clearer what the second one is. But let's just stick with the first and the third. Okay? So the first cot, which is a psychological cot, is that the greatest enjoyment is the physical enjoyment. And that's what they're using as their schar. Okay, what is the third? Which psychological motive is operative in the third cot?
Not wanting to die.
Not wanting to die. It's the motive of immortality.
And family.
What's that?
That the families will all come back.
Families come back together, and the person will not die.
Same thing.
Okay, so basically, if you look, I mean, basically. These two things are major, are really the most powerful forces in man. I mean, the attachment to physical enjoyment, right? The overestimation of the enjoyment of the material, of the physical, and the desire for immortality. These are the two forces in man that are most powerful forces, right? I mean, this is really what drives most people. What other force drives a person? It's either the desire for pleasure or it's the desire for immortality. I mean, every other force really is an average of those, of one of those two forces.
Well, can't you even say it's one force? Because you could say the desire for immortality is just that the person wants more pleasure.
You could say that, but it would seem that those, you know, what the ultimate source is, you have to go in a person's psyche. Right. But in terms of the way a person operates in his life, these are two driving forces. The desire for the enjoyments, and the desire for immortality. A person doesn't want to die. Even if a person would know, he's not going to, he may not enjoy himself, he does not want to die, he wants to live. You take the person who's got the worst type of disease, he still doesn't want to die. That is something that goes, that goes almost without, you know.
Does the first cut hold that there would be an end to that pleasure?
See, they don't go into it. See, the first cut, I mean, does the first cut want that to be eternal?
Yeah,
obviously that's in there. But well, that he gets into.
Like a secondary thing?
Yeah, but the point is, he's isolating that, in other words, the first cut is really working on that motive, on that psychological motive. When they look forward to the Olam Haba, in their mind, the greatest thing that they can think of is the physical enjoyments. Right? Okay, and if you look actually... I'm finding Koheles. That's good. Thanks. Koheles, he really isolates this idea. Because he says, Ma Yisroon. It's Pasuk Gimel in the first paragraph. Ma Yisroel la'adam b'cholam malo sheyam al tarz hashemesh, hashemesh. Right? What's the benefit? What is the Yisroel? So, right? What is the benefit that a person gets from all of the striving that he does in this world? In other words, everything he accumulates, all of his belongings. What does he get from it? And then he says, Dor holech v'dor ba. Okay? Ve'aretz lo lemamas. Okay? So dor ha'alef ador ba, that's immortality. A person doesn't have immortality, and that's something he wants. I mean, that's the striving of man, to be immortal. Okay? And the other thing is, ma'yisun radam, cholamalo, shiyamo tachas ha'shamash. All of the striving that he does in this world to gain all of these benefits, there's no benefit to him. All of these enjoyments that the person's looking forward to, it's not an enjoyment. It's not a real benefit. Okay? So those are the two things that a person strives after in this world. One is the immortality, and one is the accumulation of physical wealth, of enjoyment, all of these things. And that's what a person is working for his whole life, to gain these enjoyments. And Carlos is saying that it's nothing. But that's really what the two drives of man is. Right? So that's what I'm saying. That the first cut is the person each one is a psychological, it's determined by the psyche, by the psychological factor. The first cut is the person whose schar is based on the psychological factor of the enjoyment of the physical. Okay? And that's Gan Eden. It's pure enjoyment, no work, just pure enjoyment of the taivas. Okay? That's the overestimation of the taivas. Alright? The second cut, the third cut, is simply one thing, immortality. That's it. That's what the person wants, immortality. So that's what he imagines the schar is. He's going to live forever. Come back, tchias ha-mesim, shelo yamas. Okay? Right? And if you look at the other, those are the only two, really. That's the only two. Because if you look at the other cuts, take a look at Kat Revius. Kat Revius, Choshevet Sha'osher Shenasig B'Kiyum HaMitzvos Hu Tainag HaGuf V'Hasigei HaOlam B'Olam HaZeh. Okay? That the reward is the enjoyment of the body in this world. Kagon Shefa ha'aretz v'rivay ha'nechasim, land and what do you call it? Possessions v'abanim v'orech ha'chayim u'brias ha'guf v'abitachon v'shetiyeh lanu malchus v'niyeh shalitin al-oyveinu. We should have security. All of the physical assets. You have wealth, land, security. V'anakam asher tavoeinu v'amroseinu. The exact opposite. Okay? So, the Kat Revius is also, he wants the physical world. He wants to have all of the physical assets, the security, the wealth. Okay? So the only difference really between, see, what's the difference between the fourth one and the first? I mean, the first is Gan Eden, and then the fourth one he says, but it's in this world. Okay? So it's both the psychological factor is the enjoyment of the physical. The only difference is one cut is in a different setting. It's in a different, totally different framework where you have new laws of nature, a whole new. The first cut makes up out of that a new world with new rules, a whole new type of thing where you have rivers, a fantasy world. Right? And the last cut is really on this world. So the only difference in the cut is how much you change the laws of nature. How much the nature is changed. Okay, so in the last cut, the person thinks that the reward is the physical, but it's in this world, as things are. The first cut is the reward is the physical, but it's in a different, totally different framework. Okay, with a different, different kind of world. Okay, yeah.
It's like, actually, though, what's the difference? Why would you say one or the other?
See, he's not. He's just describing what the different... why that... He's just describing what the different categories are. He's not really going into why psychologically a person would have this, but what he's saying is there are groups that are motivated. There are two groups that are each motivated by the desire for enjoyments, right? But the question is, how in the mind, how that's set up? Is that set up as like a different type of world? Or is it set up based on this world? Now it could be because they had different midrashim. It doesn't have to necessarily be. I don't know if it has to necessarily be a psychological factor why one guy wants a fantasy world and one guy wants it on this world. It could be because of different factors. But all he's saying is that that emotion drives people to have one of two opinions of what Is it like the next world, like a heaven type of thing, or is it on this world? Okay, but basically each one of those is the same psychological motive, and that is for physical enjoyment.
He's not saying like how far removed they are from reality. Like one guy is still involved in reality, like he's not totally gone when it comes to that area.
Right, I mean, is it a difference in terms of, I mean, it could be.
What would you use like an example of it? Like you could do
he's not giving an example. He's saying these are actual groups.
Oh,
he's saying there are people that fit into these categories. There are people that maintain, that have the philosophy, it's determined by the psyche, but there are people that have the philosophy that the schar is gun aided, and where you're going to go, you're going to go into heaven or whatever it is, onto a different world, and you're going to enjoy the physical. And there is another group that maintains that you're going to enjoy the schar will be on this world. Right? But it's basically the same idea that you can enjoy yourself on this world. The only question is where? On this world or some other world? Okay? Why he splits them up? I mean, as he wants to show you that each one, that these are separate groups, okay? But it's basically the same underlying factor. It's enjoyment. In other words, don't think. In other words, the point is like this. The point is that the philosophies that result from these different permutations are four. Okay? But really there are only two underlying psychological motives. They result from one of two motives, either the person's desire for physical enjoyment or the person's desire for immortality. I mean, that's it. Now, why they split up, why one group likes it better on this world, the next world, I don't know. I mean, maybe it's psychological. I'm sure there's a lot of factors involved. It could be psychological. It could be that it's more in line with the Mikra, so they can't justify the other. I don't know. Okay? But basically, it's going to result from one of those two factors. And if you look on the second and the third, where it's immortality, it also fits in with that. Because the second one is saying that all of these changes in nature. And the third doesn't have that. They don't believe nature is going to change. They don't accept those, or whatever. They don't key in on those midrashim. But their main thing is the immortality. So it's a good question. I mean, why is it? I mean, you're saying it's because how far the person goes with this. That could be. I mean, how far the person goes. In other words, you have a person that's driven by this emotion, right? And the question is how much of a fantasy he creates out of it. That could be. I see. That's a different cut. That's a good point. In other words, there's a cot that has a fantasy of enjoyment, but it's tied to the present day, to the realistic. He doesn't create a whole new fantasy world out of it. Okay, good. He doesn't create a new, totally new reality out of it, but he sticks to the given and projects his emotional philosophy on the given. The other guy goes further. He projects his emotional philosophy and creates a totally new reality out of it. Okay, that's good. That's good. And the same thing with the desire for the immortality. There's one guy that has the desire for immortality, but he confines it to the given, to this world. He's going to come back to this world, Tchias HaMeisim, and continue as things are. And the other guy has a totally new thing, that's going to be a totally new reality where my fantasy will carry itself out. That's good.
So you're saying...
That's good. Yeah.
You're saying the third and fourth are more attached to reality? Because they're not constructing the whole...
Right. In other words, they are... In other words, there's two ways that a person can carry out their fantasy in terms of the future, you know, in terms of how things are going to be. There's two ways. Either they can take the actuality, the given... order and just project their fantasy on that. Things, the way life is now, except it's going to be eternal. Or the way life is now, except we're going to have all the enjoyments and security. You know, it's less of a change. They're taking the given and they're saying that we're going to exist the way we are, but it'll be eternal. And the other guy's creating a whole new reality out of that. Right. Okay, that's good.
So that makes sense why
you... Okay, so basically the four kitos break down like this, and this is nice, that there are there are two emotions a person can project on reality: immortality and the desire for enjoyments, for physical enjoyments. Okay? Now there's two ways you can project those emotions on reality. One way is by taking the given reality and just projecting your emotion on it. Reality is the way it is, but now I'm going to live the way every person lives, but it'll just be eternal. Okay? Or we're going to live in this world, but it'll just be the enjoyments, we'll have all the security. I'm using the reality, I'm fitting the fantasy into that reality. Right? I'm working out in my mind that we'll have security. All of the normal laws of reality, I'm projecting my fantasy onto that and fashioning that normal laws of reality. That's the last two. The first two is that a person projects his fantasy onto a new reality. He's creating a new reality. Right? There is no such thing as bread grows out of the ground, and Gan Eden is a new reality. He's creating a new world. Okay? So it breaks down into four because there are two emotions a person can project onto reality, and now I can project them in one of two ways. I can project them either on the given reality, or I could fashion a new reality out of those emotions and create a whole new world. Okay? So the first two, take those emotions and create a new reality, an impossible reality out of that. Okay? A fantasy world. And the last two, work with the given world, but just project their emotion on the given. That's good. So that's why I have four. But really, it's the same, both the same, the two basic fantasies, but just projecting in a different way. That's good. That works on us. That's why I have four. Very good. You can either with the emotion, you can either create a new reality, or you can work with the given. Right now, there are some people that don't like to, they feel it's too unrealistic. Start a new, make up a whole new reality. They feel that's too far removed. It's not, they don't feel that's possible. So they work with what, the given, and it looks like, yeah, this is a very reasonable idea. You know, we're going to live in this world, but just live eternally. To them, that's something that's plausible. You know, it's a question of plausibility. How far a person wants to go with the implausible. So to them, keeping the status quo and just altering what the emotions want is, that's it. Just projecting your emotional thing onto the status quo, that's satisfying. According to the other guy, no, he's able to just fashion a whole new reality. Okay, create a new fantasy world. And the question is, how far you go with that emotion? Do you create a new fantasy world or keep the old world and just project it on there?
Is it a different application or is of the two emotions, or is it just taking it further?
It's just taking it further. You're just taking that emotion and creating a whole new world out of it. Right? The second guy's not creating a whole new world. He's just operating with what's given and placing in his thing. That's good. Which really, a person can imagine that such a thing would be. Listen, if things are worked out properly, you have enough security in the world and enough, you can have enjoyments and you never have to work. You have all your needs and reality never interferes with you. And, it's not something that's as far removed as creating a whole new reality, Gan Eden. Okay, but basically that's it. That's good. So these four kitos really are, they don't result from the philosophic. It's not really a philosophical machlokas. The operative factor is the those two fantasies. And how you apply those fantasies to the world, that will account for all four kitos. That's good. Right, very good. I mean, I guess it comes down to, when a person has an emotion that he's distorting reality with, how much justification do you need? In other words, the first group, Chazal and the Psukim, is enough justification to justify the distortion. So that's it, you distort fully. The second group is a little more realistic, and they feel that they need the justification of Chazal, but only if you have, together with that, some part of reality. They need the reality, some aspect of reality, plus the justification of Chazal. The first group doesn't really need the reality. The justification of Chazal is enough for them to totally distort reality. And so the question is, how much justification does the emotion need to disguise the distortion of reality, to justify the distortion? Yeah.